This weekend starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Weekend, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Harder than expected. I'm Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Here's what's coming up this hour.
Getting ready for the return to office and spending a fuller day there feels like a monumental task. Find out what one employee experienced.
With rising mortgage rates and bidding wars for homes, it's no surprise some buyers are seeking therapy. Hear how they're told to cope.
There's already been a big spike in romance scams ahead of the summer. We'll explain what to watch for and who's targeted the most.
And amid all the chatter about college athletes able to profit off their name, image, and likeness, not all are eligible, like those on international visas.
Essentially, it comes down to the definition of what work is and whether an endorsement deal counts as work. But some immigration lawyers in particular say there's no way that they would chance that for their clients because, as they put it, U.S. citizenship and immigration services and the government are not conservative in how they interpret work.
Louise Radnovsky at the Wall Street Journal on international students denied NIL privileges. We'll start with a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built today, and Michigan is where they start. Learn more by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity. Find yourself a little out of sync as you try to reestablish a return-to-office routine? Well, you're not alone. If you find you have greatly unadapted from your previous routine, Morgan Hines at USA Today is going through the transition and got tips from experts on how to reset. Morgan, what did you go through?
I think the transition from working in office to working remote was not such a hard one for me to make. But on the opposite end, going back to that fuller day, even just with the smaller tasks that it takes to actually make it into the office, is something that I basically unadapted to and now have to readapt to as things return to normal.
Explain what it was like for you, like that first day or so where you kind of thought you packed everything, but maybe not.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that there are a lot of things to think about when you're working in public that seemed second nature before and now are things to think about after we've spent 2.5 years kind of in our sweats at home, making lunch on the fly, things like that. So the first day I went back to the office, and I've been in a few times now, and I should note that I'm still in a hybrid kind of situation. It's at my discretion when I'm going in and not at this point. But I, you know, I forgot how long it takes me to, after working out, shower, do my hair, do my makeup, find an outfit. And then the other littler things too, like what I need to bring into the office with me, whether that's lip gloss, lipstick, AirPods, keys, badge, snacks, water, coffee, notebook, pencil, book that I'm reading for work, all the little things that you don't think about right, having to pick up and carry with you for the day when you've been working from home for such a long period of time that everything is kind of accessible to you in a very easy at-home space.
We're speaking with Morgan Hines, travel and consumer news reporter at USA Today, and her piece is called Going Back to the Office Was Harder Than Expected. All right, so you spoke to experts here who offered tips on this transition. What'd you find?
Rebecca Henderson, the CEO of Randstad Global Businesses and an executive board member there who has nearly 20 years of talent solutions leadership, according to her LinkedIn, told USA Today in a statement that as we all transition to more workdays after a long period of isolation, she said it's important to take time to get more comfortable with your employer's mandates. And she had some tips. So she said that employees should ask their employer for a transition period of hybrid days before returning full time to allow them space to adjust to managing this kind of schedule. And then also to align your work schedule, if it's hybrid, with that of your colleagues who you need to spend time with so that you can make the most of that time in the office. And she also recommended to continue to practice hygiene with COVID in mind, even as restrictions drop.
I know you found this day, at least your first day, right, to be exhausting. You came home and just sort of collapsed.
Yeah, my first day, I had planned to come home and go for a run, as I sometimes do in the afternoon. But by the time I got home, I just kind of plopped and like a couple hours later went to bed. It's kind of a different energy level, in my opinion, to work in front of others and to think of all the make time and attention for all the things that need to be considered when you're working in a different kind of environment. So I was pretty wiped out, but I'm hoping that over time that becomes an adjustment that I'm just used to again.
You know, so you referenced a key phrase, and that's over time. Did anybody take a stab at how long it might take to transition going back to the office to get that normal routine going again?
I didn't get an exact estimate, but I would imagine that that might be something that's different for people.
Thanks, Morgan. Morgan Hines at USA Today. Coming up next, what if we've been breathing incorrectly all along?
Dell Technologies wants to celebrate all your hard work with these Small Business Month specials. Get great value offers on powerful laptops, desktops, and servers with Windows 11 Pro starting at $499, plus top monitors and docks, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. It's the perfect time to upgrade so you and your team can stay secure from anywhere. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL to refresh your business tech with these Small Business Month specials. Dell recommends Windows 11 Pro for business.
Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Breathing, we all do it without thinking, but what if we have been breathing incorrectly? Can learning the right way to breathe change things? We're joined now by Raminder Preet Alisa, certified yoga therapist and also founder of Life Skills Yoga Program. Raminder Preet, what should we know?
So actually, breathing is the one thing that you can do in your body on purpose. You can't beat your heart on purpose. You know, your digestion is pretty much independent of your mind, all these other things. But you can direct your breath on purpose, and there's a reason for that. And the reason is that when we do different forms of breathing techniques, we actually access the central nervous system and directly affect the parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous systems, which then have an effect on all the systems and organs of our body.
So how do we pay attention to that?
Well, that's just it. Paying attention is the key. Practice. It really comes down to practice. Practicing your breath on a daily basis, doing long, deep breathing and other techniques that are beneficial to you, helps us to train the mind and body to rely on breath in actual times of stress when we will most likely breathe shallow, which can actually influence more stress in the body.
So long, deep breathing, also considered meditating or not necessarily?
It's a form of meditation, yes. Long, deep breathing is a form of meditation, watching your breath as it moves in and out of the body, listening to the sound, the rhythm, the sensation of it. All that is meditation.
And then explain, I guess, how you said it touches the central nervous system. What actually happens when we take, I guess, a deep breath or a series of deep breaths?
Yes. The more you do it, the more you affect the body. And so, yes, you enter the central nervous system through the breath, through the focus of the breath, and depending on the type of breathing you do, you either access the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the rest and digest aspect, which helps us to calm the body and access hormones that help to calm the mind, as well as helping to access the immune system, to boost the immune system. If we access a quick breath, then we actually access the sympathetic nervous system. Maybe we need some energy. Maybe we want to get a lot done and go really quickly and do things. So different breath forms have different intentions, and I teach these on my website, lifeskillsyogaprogram.com, in free videos that you can access.
Wow. We're speaking with Raminderpreet Alisa. She's the founder of Life Skills Yoga Program. She's a certified yoga therapist, and we're talking about, are you breathing incorrectly? So if we were going to commit to taking deep breaths, this should be while we're sitting, standing, lying down, through our nose, through our mouth. How does it work? And how many should we take?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. You know, comfortable position. If you sit up, you can actually help to lengthen your spine and expand your lungs, which are all very helpful for your posture and breathing. You can lie down if you want to relax and really rest into it. I've done walking meditations where you meditate in rhythm to your pace of walk. There's lots of ways to do it, and it depends on what works for you. And so I really address people's desires and habits when I teach them through my signature Life Skills Yoga program. It's really about the person. It's not what I dictate for them, but what they are choosing to do and what works best for them and what their general outcome is intended.
That's Raminderpreet Alisa, certified yoga therapist and also founder of Life Skills Yoga Program. Coming up next, not all college athletes are eligible to take advantage of new NIL rules.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Hey, glad you could be with us. Not all college athletes are eligible to take advantage of endorsement deals involving their name, image, or likeness. Those who can't, students on visas. Here's this weekend's Jennifer Koshenka.
While college athletes, universities, and the NCAA are still trying to figure out all the ramifications of NIL and endorsement deals, it's infinitely more confusing for student athletes who are on visas. More from Louise Radnofsky of the Wall Street Journal. Louise, your story starts with an anecdote about a basketball player from the Dominican Republic. What was that all about?
Hansel Manuel is a high school basketball player in the U.S. on a student visa. He has one arm due to a childhood accident, and it's become something of a viral sensation for what he's able to do ahead of a potential college basketball career. But because his agent and immigration lawyer were erring on the side of caution, they thought that it was best for him to shoot an inspirational ad for Gatorade by leaving the country to do it. They shot in Mexico.
So what are the rules about foreign students and foreign student athletes when it comes to endorsements?
The rules for international student athletes are that they are not allowed to work in the United States, except under a few very limited circumstances for college students, and such exemptions don't even exist for high school students. But essentially, it comes down to the definition of what work is and whether an endorsement deal counts as work. But some immigration lawyers in particular say there's no way that they would chance that for their clients because, as they put it, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services and the government are not conservative in how they interpret work and unauthorized work at that.
Do we know how many college students this may be affecting?
There are about 20,000 college athletes who are from outside the U.S., and then a small number in high school as well, primarily in basketball.
We're speaking with Louise Radnofsky of the Wall Street Journal. Louise, are there student athletes from other countries who are trying to get around these rules somehow?
There are. So there are a couple of workarounds that have been tried. One is the leaving the country, which is a lot harder to do if you have an endorsement deal that is based on you wearing certain apparel frequently. But the other workarounds include, for a handful of these athletes, getting a different visa, one based on extraordinary ability. That's pretty difficult to get and wouldn't necessarily work to the majority of folks. One of the other workarounds is to try and set up deals very carefully so that they could be considered as passive income with no active work being done. But that's a very fine line and requires a lot of work. And there are some things that just cannot be structured that way. The other way that we've seen some lawyers, agents, and athletes interpreting this is that social media posts that are part of an endorsement deal don't count as work. That's what they're saying. So they are talking about the fact that they've done these deals and that the student is posting from the United States, from their dorm room or from wherever, and they don't think that that could possibly count as work. So that will probably be determined ultimately by the government. And it may not be determined immediately either. One worst case scenario for a student visa holder is that they could be deported for breaking the terms of the visa, but more likely they would face potentially difficulties on renewing the visa if a consular officer considers that a name, image, and likeness deal counts as work. Or if they try to change their status later, perhaps come back for a professional career, that's where they could run into problems.
Your story notes that there are some agents and sports immigration lawyers that are pushing for a federal fix to this, but it doesn't sound like that would come anytime soon.
They don't think that it's likely to come through Congress anytime soon. They are putting their hope in the Department of Homeland Security issuing a federal regulatory fix, basically clarifying that potentially student visa holders permitted work could include endorsement deals.
Some agents say that perhaps the rules are so vague right now that they'll just keep doing what they're doing.
Some agents have taken a very, very conservative stance, or their clients have, and they're just not doing deals at all. That's one approach that was taken by a Canadian hammer thrower called Cameron Rogers, who we spoke to for this story. She actually recently just converted her status, and she is now the recipient of an extraordinary ability permanent residence in the United States. But up until that point, and she's now got one season of indoor eligibility left, and that's about it. Until this point, she just felt that the easiest and safest thing to do was to say no to everything.
That's this weekend's Jennifer Koshenka with Wall Street Journal sports reporter Louise Radnovsky. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Weekend. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Coming up this half hour, officials warn of a spike in scams tied to romance. Also, homebuyers turning to therapy to cope with this wild housing market. Plus, why graduation is chaotic this season. And the pediatric nurse who uses the healing power of music. His story in about 20 minutes. Well, romance scams, including fake online dating profiles and would-be sugar mamas, are increasing as summer approaches. And Sean Salai, culture reporter at The Washington Times, says U.S. officials have struggled to stop them. Sean, what are we learning?
Well, we're learning that there's an incredible uptick in romance scams. The Better Business Bureau's online scam tracker shows 395 reports in the U.S. since January 1st. And that's more than the 276 we had all last year, which was itself a 13% increase from 2020. And Cupid scams are just soaring during the COVID pandemic. There's a lot of lonely people out there looking for companionship. They want to believe they've found a soulmate. And unfortunately, they're putting themselves at risk for people who are looking to prey on that. Yeah. And last year, there was a record 1 billion losses in romance scams that Americans basically gave up to these fraudsters, and that was up from $600 million the year before, according to the FBI's Houston office. So it looks like we're, as summer approaches, looking at a real whirlwind of just kind of misery and and a sort of grooming, actually.
Yeah. I don't need to ask why, I guess. The reason that these scams are growing is because they work, right? As scammers keep coming back to them.
And that's the sad thing. A lot of times you have these very convincing long-term cons. They're harder to detect than an email where you just have a phishing link or something you want to click on. In this case, you have people who are using other people's photos, putting out very convincing profiles, and quite often targeting and studying the people they're going after before they even initiate contact. And a lot of times these romance scams imitate organic relationships as they evolve and develop. And so the victims are often too invested in the relationship to notice these things because they just want to be loved so badly.
Jeez. We're speaking with Sean Salai, culture reporter at the Washington Times. His piece is called Love Trap: Officials Warn of Spike in Romance Scams as Summer Approaches. I think you said, too, it's just so rarely that money's ever recovered here, right? Once you transfer it to somebody or something.
It's pretty much gone at that point. For the most part, victims have to go to small claims court to try to get any sort of monetary relief. And in most cases, they never get it back. Pew Stateline reported on Thursday about a widowed Boston Children's Hospital nursing manager in her late 60s who had cared for her deceased husband throughout his Parkinson's disease, and she gave more than $200,000 to one of these fake kind of romantic Lotharios in several wire transfers after meeting him on a website.
All right, and I think you said in the story she kind of pushed back against family members who were warning her, but that said, could banks actually warn us?
Yes, the New York State Assembly actually just passed a law earlier this month that would require financial institutions to alert people when they set up an electronic funds transfer to other individuals and to say, well, this could be a scam of some sort.
Boy. You said, too, that, it's often mentioned women, but men are targets here as well.
Absolutely. Men are quite often targeted, and we had a situation reported in Michigan on Monday by the Traverse City Record Eagle that a 63-year-old man from Garfield Township lost $100,000 to a woman that he met on social media after she claimed her disposable income was tied up with family in London. And the man actually met her once in person before reporting to police that she stole the money right out of his escrow account. And in other cases, you have people online posing as sugar mamas who are kind of these older women enticing younger men by telling them, you know, I'll take care of you financially if we get into a relationship. And then those young men end up getting swindled out of their money as well.
Boy, the guy in Michigan, though, that's an unusual case that he actually met the woman in person, right?
It's very rare. Most often these scams are designed to be as quick as possible, as fast as possible.
Thanks, Sean. Sean Salai, culture reporter at the Washington Times. Coming up next, homebuyers seeking therapy. High interest debt can put you into a financial hole, and a lot of people are too embarrassed to ask for help. That's where Upstart comes in. Upstart can help you get one fixed monthly payment with a clear payoff date, whether it's for paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses. You can even receive funds in as fast as one business day, from $1,000 to $50,000. And checking your rate at Upstart has to be the easiest process ever invented. The questions are simple, the drop-down boxes are user-friendly, and the application took less than 5 minutes. In addition, all your responses are encrypted and do not affect your credit score, so you have complete security and privacy. Don't wait. Check your rate today at upstart.com/Gordon. That's upstart.com/Gordon to check your rate today. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Again, upstart.com/Gordon. Glad you could spend part of your weekend with us. Buying a home in recent years has become near impossible thanks to bidding wars and skyrocketing prices. They're conditions that aren't just challenging, but downright overwhelming. In fact, buyers are so stressed, they're seeking therapy for it. It's a story by Samantha Scharf, real estate editor at Money.com. Sam, what's this about?
we had been chatting about, we talk a lot about the regret that people feel in the housing market, that they feel rushed into buying a home and they buy the wrong place or they miss out on what they thought was the right place. We started wondering about people who are still going through the process and how difficult that might be. And the conversation started with a tweet about having to try on different lifestyles as you're looking at different homes. And one thing kind of led to another, and we said, I wonder what therapists are seeing. And Realtor.com turned out to have some great data saying that 23% of recent home buyers said that they scheduled extra therapy sessions because of the home search process, and more than a quarter of them took mental health days off work to cope with it all.
Yeah, I can only imagine what people are losing sleep, headaches.
I think there are some of the mental health professionals that Ali interviewed did allude to physical manifestations of this stress. I'm not a mental health professional, so I certainly can't comment on what's happening there, but people are feeling this in a very real way, yeah. Clearly.
Explain the story of that Brandon Beaver. I think he's a guy from Florida. What he went through.
Yes. Yeah, so Brandon Beaver is a 37-year-old project engineer from Florida. And he told Ali that when he was searching for a home in Orlando early this year, he felt really stressed and alone is a word he used, which I found really interesting. And eventually, luckily, his employer had an on-site counselor that he was able to utilize. He took some 4 days off work to just kind of ease his stress. And now he says that he closed in March and he feels a lot better. Brandon said these therapy sessions made it a lot easier to cope with the process and helped him get through it.
So what do therapists say? I mean, how do you begin to process this if you're feeling stressed out?
So of course, if you're feeling really stressed and you're able to do it, seeking professional help like Brandon and some of the others quoted in this story is a fabulous resource. But they also had some practical advice that anyone can use. Some of my favorites include setting reasonable expectations, reminding yourself that it's not you, that this market is wild, that there are more people who want to buy homes than there are homes available for sale.
What else stood out?
Another favorite tip is get a good real estate agent. You know, having a sounding board that isn't your partner or your parent can be really helpful. They know the market and help you navigate the ins and outs instead of letting one stressful thing spiral. One more tip is this advice that you'll read in any home buying story, which is know your budget. Good rule of thumb is looking about 30% of your gross income. Lock in a mortgage rate early if you can, and get pre-approved for a mortgage. So when you find that right home, you're prepared to act.
Thanks, Sam. Samantha Scharf, real estate editor at money.com. Coming up next, adding to an already chaotic graduation season.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for spending part of your weekend here. As if the race to college graduation wasn't stressful enough, how about a little supply chain drama thrown in? Students across the country ordered commencement regalia weeks before the ceremonies, and many are still waiting. It's a story by Lindsay Ellis, careers reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Lindsay, paint the picture.
So students from colleges in North Carolina, Virginia, Texas, elsewhere, they've ordered caps and gowns and other things for graduation weeks and weeks ago, and many are still awaiting the arrivals of these items. And so graduation is coming, and they don't have the tassels to flip, they don't have the caps to toss, and there's a lot of stress surrounding that for many of them.
Wow. So as you sort of suggested in your story, might we be without the pomp even if we have the circumstance?
Exactly. It's the critical question for a lot of these regalia sales companies.
Is there one particular company that is the big supplier here, or is this happening to, I don't know, all kinds of suppliers?
So there are a number of key suppliers that typically get students their caps and gowns before graduation. The company that we saw many complaints about is one called Herf Jones. And, you know, in about a half dozen cases, this company shipped its goods with just hours to spare to campuses, including via a charter jet to Rice University out in Houston. Other companies that we talked to acknowledged that these circumstances are very difficult with labor shortages and in some cases materials shortages, but they say that they are meeting demand and meeting the original orders that were placed.
Boy, how about this? One example you cited, this guy Austin Wiggins getting his master's in accounting from the University of Houston. He had some wrong stitching, right?
Yes. So the University of Houston logo is a U and an H sort of interlocked. And when he took out his robe to make sure it all looked good before the ceremony, he saw that the UH was unfortunately upside down. And that was a one-off issue, according to the company. Students elsewhere who got tassels that said class of 2020, not class of 2022, that was more widespread.
Jeez. We're speaking with Lindsay Ellis, careers reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her story is called Graduation is Chaotic This Season. Blame the Supply Chain. Staying in the same state of Texas, there were problems with Rice's doctoral convocation. Explain that.
Yeah, so this was an issue with what's called the hood, which some students wear when they graduate. For PhD students, it's sort of the rite of passage where a professor or a mentor, you stand up in front of them and they drape this hood over your head and neck. It sort of looks like a backward sylph scarf. And, you know, it's a critical part of the ceremony. And right before commencement, right before the ceremony, Rice students got an email from an employee that basically said, "We got this last shipment, but just as a heads up, some of these hoods were missing." And so she laid out a couple of options. One was, okay, professors, if you have your hoods, take it off during the ceremony and drape it over the student's neck. Or if there are a couple of students without hoods, you know, after you hood the first one, take it back from that student and put it on graduate number two's head. The university said that, thankfully, everybody did have a hood to present for their professor during the ceremony. But they were really scrambling for what could be the worst case scenario here. Wow.
Thanks, Lindsay. Lindsay Ellis, careers reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, the pediatric nurse who sees music as a healer.
Dell Technologies wants to celebrate all your hard work with these Small Business Month specials. Get great value offers on powerful laptops, desktops, and servers with Windows 11 Pro starting at $499, plus top monitors and docks, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. It's the perfect time to upgrade so you and your team can stay secure from anywhere. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL to refresh your business tech with these Small Business Month specials. Dell recommends Windows 11 Pro for business.
We'll finish with this. Manny Remelis spent time in and out of the hospital as a child. Now that he's a nurse, he wants to make patients' hospital stays a little brighter, so he uses the healing powers of music. CBS News says thanks to the nurses, Mr. Remelis looks back on that time fondly. He's determined to be a good memory for kids at New York's Cohen Children's Medical Center. He sings all kinds of songs to the kids, from nursery rhymes to contemporary music. And he recently joined a group of other musical healers, the Northwell Health Nurses Choir. The group was even featured on America's Got Talent. They went to Hollywood to audition for the show, the first time they got together in person due to the pandemic. He hopes his hospital bedside singing inspires other nurses to bring joy to their patients, and he hopes the choir brings joy to the world. Mr. Remelis said he realized the choir was using music to heal themselves during the pandemic, making it to the finals of AGT. Let them share the healing power of music with millions who are watching at home. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Weekend. How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.